The Old Testament reading is Isaiah 65:17-25. New heavens and a new earth. See, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be delighted, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sounds of weeping and crying will be heard no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or a man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one that fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses for others to live in them, or plant and others to eat. For as the days of the tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed for misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before I call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm or destroy on all my holy mountains, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Leading up to and including Christmas, we will be exploring some key passages from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Passages that relate to the season ahead of us, such as preparation and promises of light breaking through and salvation, of assurance of God being with us, Emmanuel, and this morning being called to hope, called to hope. And we heard in the reading from Isaiah 65 about new heavens and a new earth. That one day the sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more. The promise of no harm and no destruction, but a long life. And there would be homes and food and even work enjoyment. And God would bless. Around 700 to 800 years later, the Apostle John writes something very similar in the New Testament in Revelation 21. He writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" God is consistent throughout. that we have hope for this life and the next. And today, on this Remembrance Sunday, we, as we have heard, we particularly remember all those fallen in wars past and present, and all of those affected by the conflict of war. It was very moving going along to the Tower of London back in 2014 to witness over 800,000 ceramic poppies around the tower, with each of these poppies representing a British military fatality during World War I. 888,246 people in all. And with World War II and many other wars and conflicts since, many tens of millions of people around the world have faced conflict, suffering, injuries, and death. And today we are called to remember, to honor their memory and to recall their sacrifice. And even as we speak, there are many others, including civilians and children, those we hear about at least sometimes on the news, those who are caught up in the horror of war and destruction even today. We need to remember them too. And also, over this last year and a half, we have again been reminded of how very fragile health and life is. Our neighbors and work colleagues, friends and relatives, and most of us here have been deeply affected. And we remember those who are no longer with us. It has been hard. And we are sad and we grieve. Somewhere near you, in front of you, underneath your seat perhaps, you may find a leaf from my garden next door. And if you are desperate for some more, feel free to come for a visit. I have got plenty. I have got plenty, plenty. But just as these leaves, fallen from the trees, decaying, dying, it reminds us on this Remembrance Sunday of our own decay and death, our humanity. And death is painful. Death hurts. Billy Graham, this world-famous evangelist, he once said, "I don't fear death, I fear the process of dying." I personally am finding it very hard at the moment to observe the process of death that my younger brother in Norway is faced with. This strong and healthy and active person who just a couple of months ago was diagnosed with ALS, or a motor neuron disease. And he is now experiencing his body shutting down. And unless there is a supernatural miracle, he is expected to die very shortly. Where is God in our troubles when death comes knocking? I wonder if some of you have seen this film called 33. The film about Chilean miners who in 2010 were trapped for over 2 months underneath the ground in a mining accident. Who has seen this film? Anyone? Three of us. It's worth seeing. But here they were, way underneath the ground, facing death, completely cut off, hardly any food, without hope. until after more than 2 months, the rescuers finally broke through to them. And the second miner to be pulled from the mine, he said this: I have been with God and I've been with the devil. I fought between the two. I seized the hand of God. It was the best hand. What gives us hope today is when we remember to hold on to what God has done. That ancient story of God sending Jesus into the world to bring us into a friendship with God. That story of Christmas. The story of Jesus coming to a world of darkness and suffering, conflict and death, and was then dying on the cross to rescue you and me. Today, we can seize the hand of God. This is a photo of William Hackett. William Hackett. He came from Nottingham, so not too far from us here in Leicester, and had for many years worked as a miner. He volunteered for war, but rejected 3 times for being too old. Finally, Hackett enlisted in the British Army on 25th October 1915, despite having been diagnosed with a heart condition. He spent 2 weeks of basic training at Chatham, joining 172nd Tunnelling Company. Then went to France, where he would be tunnelling deep underground, tiny tunnels close to and at times on enemy territory. Once when tunnelling, there was an explosion which entombed Hackett with 4 others. Help and rescue arrived, and after working for 20 hours, a hole was made through to these 5 through fallen earth and broken timber. Hackett helped 3 of the men through the hole and could easily have followed, but refused to leave the 4th, who had been seriously injured. Meantime, the hole was getting smaller, yet he still refused to leave his injured comrade. And finally, the hole collapsed. And though the rescue party worked desperately for 4 days, the attempt to reach the 2 men failed. And in the London Gazette, dated 4th of August 1916, it is quoted that William Hackett, well knowing the nature of sliding earth, deliberately gave his life for his comrade. Jesus said in John that no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Just like William Hackett laid down his life for his friends, Jesus laid down his life for you and for me, to reconcile us to God and to each other. But that is not the end. The Apostle Paul, reflecting on what Jesus had done, writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Because as we know, the heart of the Christian faith is that Jesus has risen. Death could not hold him. He conquered death, not only for himself, but for us too. And therefore, we have hope. Jesus has drilled this tunnel down to us. He has picked us up and brought us into the light, so that one day, the sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more. And finally, Each one of us who have experienced receiving hope have also been sent out to bring hope to others. We are called to be peacemakers, reconcilers. Wherever there are conflicts and division, each of us here, we have a role to play, to do our bit to make the world a better place, because we, you and I, we are people of hope. Amen.